Translation. I have just lost him whose separation for a moment would render all the universes unfavorable and void, like bodies without life. Purport. Factually, for a living being, there is no one dearer than the Lord. The Lord expands himself by innumerable parts and parcels of Svamsha and Vibhinamsha. Paramatma is the Svamsha part of the Lord, whereas the Vibhinamsha parts are the living beings. As a living being is the important factor in the material body, for without the living being, the material body has no value. Similarly, without Paramatma, the living being has no status quo. Similarly, Brahman or Paramatma has no locus standi without the Supreme Lord Krishna. This is thoroughly explained in the Bhagavad Gita. They are all interlinked with one another, or independent factors. Thus, in the ultimate issue, the Lord is summum bonum, and therefore the vital principle of everything. Shri Guru Namaha, Namah Shivaya, Krishna Prashta, Budalaya, Shmati Bhakti, Vedanta, Swam, Timini, Namaste, Sarasati, Deva, Guru, and Pacharina, Nimshesha, Shunyadi, Pashyata, Dashtarina, Jaya, Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Shri Adaita, Gadadhar, Shri Vasari, Gaura, Bhaktarina, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Vanchakalpatarubhyasya, Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Okay. This, again, interesting verse, short purport. Prabhupada didn't elaborate much, so how I'm supposed to elaborate more than that, I'm not sure. Stuff verse, so you have to help me with topics. Okay, translation of verse again. I have just lost him whose separation for a moment would render all the universes unfavorable and void, like bodies without life. That's Arjuna speaking. Finally, I think yesterday class, first time over two chapters, finally say, yeah, Krishna has left, like, you know, just like long as he just couldn't. So finally he said, there's two chapters of disappearance of Krishna. So now he feels separation from me, from Krishna, great separation. Finally, he realized all his power. Next verse is telling us all his power finally ascribed to Krishna. But there is an instance, interesting instance, beautiful pastimes, when Arjuna was familiar with Krishna. As I, last class, I was mentioning about familiarity. This amazing pastime in a Krishna book. I think this occurred actually in a time when Arjuna was in Dwaraka. Because, as you know, as we narrate the story, goes that there was a Brahmana, and then in time of delivery, after a few minutes, his child was gone, disappeared. He was so desperate, so he was blaming the king. He took his whatever. He didn't take that child. Child was gone, just disappeared. But went to Ugrasena's court, and he was blaming him. You are responsible for all what's happening in your kingdom. You know, you don't perform your duty properly. You know, nobody could protect. Well, how does my child has gone? And then there's not even Kshatriya to protect this child. There's not even one single Kshatriya in your entire kingdom. You know, the old eunuchs engaging in just drinking and woman hunting. You know, how is that? And then Arjuna was there and happened to hear. And he was burning, you know, how could he see that? And he came forward and said, listen, you know, Brahmana, I'm Arjuna. You know, I heard your lamentation. Don't worry, I'll protect your child. And then Brahmana didn't believe, because it was like every year was happening. He said, how can you say that, you know, even Krishna couldn't do it, even Balaram couldn't do this, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, nobody, now you claiming, who are you? He said, and then he was proud. The pride kicked in. Listen, I'm Arjuna. I'm bearer of Gandiva bow given by Indra. I'm not Krishna. I'm not Balaram. I'm not even Aniruddha or Pradyumna. I'm Arjuna. See, you know, you don't know my might. You know, when I was fighting with Lord Shiva, even I defeated Shiva, and he offered him his celestial weapon, Pashupata Astra, I think. You know, don't worry. And finally, okay, you know, Brahmana Kano was convinced because he's claiming so boldly. So, when time for delivery of next child, who is Brahmana wife, was nearing, he went quickly to Arjuna. He said, please come protect my child. My wife is going to soon deliver, do something. And then Arjuna, what he did, he took his weapon, Gandiva bow, and then he touched the water and offered his prayers and mantras to whom? To Lord Shiva, not to Krishna. Because he was considering, since Krishna was not able to protect this child, he's gone, not anyone else, you know. So he didn't even ask Krishna. He was confident of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was his guru. And he chanted mantra and invoked by this mantra, this celestial weapon, Pashupata Astra. And I went to the area where this house of Brahmana was, and then invoked some kind of missiles. I mean, this translated as missiles, kind of astras, celestial weapon. He was attaching the arrows to these missiles and made entire cage around the house of the Brahmana. Very dense cage. Nobody could escape nor come in. From all sides, from the top. And he was waiting that guard in his Gandiva boat, waiting for the moment. And then time was approaching. Child was delivered. And a few minutes, what happened then? Child was gone. And not only that, arrow cage, which is gone. And Arjuna was just puzzled. And funny enough, Krishna, it appeared that his also palace was just nearby the Brahmana's house. He was sitting nicely, comfortably on the balcony, and observing, very amused, what Arjuna is doing, observing activities. And Arjuna realized, he's gone, what's going on? I cannot do anything. And then he invoked special mystic mantra and immediately went straight to abode of the Yamaraj to look for a child. In a moment, they said, just was there with his mantra. It was so very powerful with mystic potency. Child was not there. Then went to Indraloka, look for, no avail. Then Varuna Loka, same. Vayu Loka, all these lokas, couldn't find child. Finally, he went all the way down to Patala Loka, lower region of the universe. And he couldn't find. From there, go straight to the Brahma Loka. Child was not there. He realized. He examined every single abode, every single plant, except Lord Shiva's abode. Because Lord Shiva was his guru. Didn't even consider that there is a possibility that child is there. Didn't even consider. So, nothing happened. He promised at the beginning, if I don't save your child, I will enter in the fire and die to redeem myself from false claims. So he went back, that's it, preparing himself, whatever, take bath, smear his oil around, dress white cloth, made a fire, and when he was just about to enter, Krishna said, whoa, hold on, I cannot let you do this. I will show you where kids are, those children are. And then Krishna invoked his celestial horses and chariot, mighty divine horses. They sat in the chariot and then they were heading to the north side. And they passed all the rings of Bhumandala, all these mountains, lakes surrounding Bhumandala, passed all the mountains. Swiftly. And then when they came to the region of Loka Loka Mountain is a ring of the mountains higher than sun itself in position. all around like a ring. Beyond that was total darkness. Sun couldn't penetrate there. This is point where coverings of universe start, as I mentioned a few classes ago, coverings, water, fire, and finally crust of Mahatattva. So, but horses, they were hesitant. They didn't want to enter after this local accommodation. There was a huge, damn cold, scary darkness, total silence, and horses were just hesitant to go. It is described that Krishna displays this because Krishna came as a human. So he was displaying these pastimes to make it even more relishable, like a human. The horses didn't want to. Imagine that beautiful scene, mighty horses, four of them. They didn't want to, you know, they didn't want to get into darkness, a fear, of, you know, afraid. And then finally Krishna manifested this Sudarshan Chakra. He said it was dazzling, cut 10,000 of suns in front of the chariot to dispel the darkness. And finally, horses took courage and they went through all this darkness. The chakra ahead. Krishna was amazed, like, oh, you know, and they were just traveling a very long time, penetrating all the rings, all the coverings. Finally, came to the Mahatattva, penetrated the Mahatattva, and then what happened? It was dazzling light. It was coming out that Krishna finally, he didn't close the eyes when chakra was there. Chakra was, I said, like 10,000 suns. But when he came to this light, he had to close his eyes, couldn't bear. This was Brahmajyoti. And Krishna told him, this is effulgence of my own rays, of my body, this Brahmajyoti. So they went through this light region, and then finally they went to the ocean, causal ocean. And he described that the waves were huge, huge, but beautiful, beautiful. So you can say that when sea is calm, somebody may say it's beautiful, but when it's turbulent, looks like it's more beautiful. It is, when you are safe on the bank. It's scary, like, you know, like a few times I was on the bank, it was a huge wave, so it's horrible. But this milk ocean, not milk ocean, but causal ocean, was just big waves smashing out. You know, I mesmerized such a beauty of the causal ocean. And then he saw the beautiful palace made of precious jewels, columns there in distance. And then after that he saw the Ananta Shesha, beautiful snake, expansion of Balaram. He had body white like a snow of the on the Himalayas. I said white body of a snake with dark blue necks and dark blue tongues. You know, fearsome snake. And then Krishna was comfortably sitting on this, I mean not Krishna, but Mahavishnu was laying comfortably on these coils, soft coils of Ananta Shesha. And then when Arjuna saw, he couldn't believe, he was fearful. When he saw Krishna, then Krishna was paying obeisances, then he just followed from what Krishna does. And then Mahavishnu spoke, you too, I just wanted to see you both, Narayana. I wanted to see you, therefore I took all these children, hoping that you will personally come to rescue them. You know, I wanted your darshan. And Arjuna was amazed, you know, Mahavishnu, Supreme, want to see Krishna. So I'm clicking that he is a source of everything. The beautiful pastime, he is a source of everything. And then they gave him the 10 kids, and then they went back on the same road which they came in. So Krishna, you know, kind of instruct him lessons and give beautiful pastimes. So there's a time when he was kind of familiar, was, you know, into his only might. So now in this verse, Arjuna feels separation from Krishna. It's very similar statement. He says like gopis, you know what he says. I have just lost him, whose separation for a moment would render all the universe and verbal and void, like bodies without life, you see. Like Yugai Tam Nimeshena, Chakshusha Pravishaitam, Shunyaitam Jagat Sarvam, Govinda Virahena Me, see. World is vacant. It's interesting in this verse that there's a Yugai Tam Nimeshena, his original translation is millennium. Prabhupada translate 12 years or more. So I don't know, does anyone know how is that connected? 12 years or more is translated in Prabhupada. Anyway, just kind of. So all world is vacant. There's no Krishna. He's gone. See? So, unfortunately, we understand the value of things only when we lose them. This interesting phenomenon that everybody experiences, so that when you lose something, it becomes, seems to me, more important to us than we have it around, especially persons. You know, you have a living person, it's hard to, you know, with people, you know, even your dearest relatives, friends, parents, sometimes there's a, you know, clash. But when they are gone, oh, it's very hard. You know, it's like you feel, just remember all this, oh, they're gone. They just, there's something like, something in your life and just finish. There's nothing there. It's like a gap, you know, for this time being you feel separation, or separation from your guru, if you have that. But anyway, you know what it is. And funny, even things which you don't like, even if you don't like when you lose, somehow I just feel it's like, you know, where is my gamsha with 108 holes? You know, it's useless. You can easily get new one, but you know, like anything. Therefore, we like to clutter things, isn't it? It's just, I mean, in my loft, I have just kind of box and some wires from code nose computer or anything, some kind of tools. We're just sitting, you know, because I've experienced when I throw the things, sometimes I need exactly things which are, and this is what we do. We just keep collecting and there's attachment there and, you know, like Mother Umrla, you know, I like her classes, always quote her. You know, she said, you know, you clean in your house and then you go in the basement, you know, now you are 60 years old and you find small box of cloth from your kid when he was 6 months, 1 year, and small shoes, and oh, I like this, you know. It's time to get rid of that, you know. Oh, and then you remember, you just can't, it's just emotional attachment. So we get attached to clutter, you know. See, lots of junk, you know. So that's one section regarding the verse. So familiarity, again, I have to mention, but familiarity comes from kind of boredom of this world. See, we get familiar, like, you know, like in story I just mentioned about Arjuna. It's every time, every day is there, you just kind of dismiss who is who. So we get familiar, see, and we want new things, you know, new things, new relationships. You know, we always something fresh, refreshed. Like, for example, in a group, you have a group of friends, and then new guy comes. Who is most popular? It's a new guy, you know. Everybody kind of he wants to hang with him. You know, he is most popular, she is most popular. You know, you want to hang with them slowly. And they also, you know, initially you hide your real nature somehow. You don't display, you know, everything is nice. Or like with anything else. Until you know the person, his goods and bads, you know, you can go on. So, oh, he's so cool, she's so cool, you know, like, new guy. So that's it. And then slowly you discover things which you don't like, and then you discover things which irritate you, and then they irritate you more, and then you cannot stand it anymore. That's relationships. So we get bored with person, yeah. So the real nature comes out, so you have to deal with it, you know. I have that problem. That's a symbol, just like a mirror. I see my faults, probably, in others. In my astrological chart, somebody made, that one of the things I have to learn is to overcome mistakes and shortcomings of others and tolerate. It's very hard, seriously. Poor. I'm trying my best. You know that already. Okay. Therefore, only Krishna is ever expanding in his qualities. I'm just wondering, is that for the same reason? He knows we will get familiar or something. So ever expanding. He's only one person who is never boring. Only one. So it's no wonder that everything we have, things, people, you know, we need new things, new relationship, new excitement. Like when couple meet each other, this period of discovery each other, you know, is exciting. And when there is nothing else to discover, then a real thing starts. Then, you know, tolerate and all this school, you know. So there's nothing to discover anymore. Then, you know, often you seek somebody new to continue discovery. Isn't true or not? True. We get fed up with person, you see. So, therefore, Krishna is nava-nava, always new, always new, always new. So, don't worry, you know, we come to Krishna, this is all normal. You get bored of things, you know. Another thing, like when people get familiar with us, we are not any more exciting for them. You see, we are, you know, just normal. And then this is time when can lead to depression. You know, you just see you things you do are not valued. You know, you also lose the point. But you know, what's the point? Why to do things like, you know, it's not, you just do things. It's kind of, it's just hard time. You see. Then what's happening? See, we get exhausted, discouraged. We lose any essence why we should do things. You know. You know, like. So it's important that we need to be valued. I mean, I'm not the best in that, but you have to value the persons what they do. We need that. We can say no, but you know. Nobody cares what you do, then you point what should I do anyway. You know. You ask, what is the point? You know, why should I do this? And when you lose the point, there's no meaning of anything, really. There's nothing, you know. It's a depressive state, you know. And how that comes is interesting, yeah. You remove the essence, you remove the importance of things, yeah, kind of. I lose the faith as well. You know, practice also. They lose the meaning. But my vadis do. They lost all meaning of anything. Because relationship is a source of all happiness. And wrong relationships is source of all misery. So better just cut off, stop relationships with anything and just merge into nothing. That's also frustration. You all have its tendency, like, you know, you just, that's it, you know. Don't invest energy into, you know. Because this tolerance or intolerance is due to concept of mind and body. Still, even Mayavadi, this is bodily concept, still a mind concept. You cannot tolerate to be ignored, to be nobody. Can you spend all your life behind the curtain, unknown, anonymous? When you are young, just impossible. All young people want to be something in the world. Even our society runs on first 5 years of enthusiasm of young devotees. True or not? They do everything. When you get old, you know, kind of. I have less and less kind of desire kind of to do something, just do the basics, you know. But young people, they run this movement. That's how it is. So, okay, today I'd like to go on the purport a little bit. Prabhupada said in the purport that factually for living being there is no one dearer than the Lord. You have this experience? For the person there is no one dearer than the Lord. Don't know that. We don't have a realization yet. So how is that? I mean, how is not? For the living entity is no one dear than the Lord. It's a beautiful verse in 10th canto. It said, everyone loves his body and wants to protect it because a spirit soul is within the body. But the spirit soul runs the body. The body is like a temple. Spirit soul is there. Therefore, he wants to protect this body, this temple. And everyone loves the soul because soul is a part and parcel of the soul, of super soul. That means it's connected with divine, with Krishna. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Sitaram Lakshmanam Jiruntai Jai Shri Prabhupada. Therefore, yeah, before soul is connected to super soul, therefore we like the soul. And finally, Prabhupada said, therefore everyone is actually seeking to achieve happiness by reviving his relationship with super soul. Subconsciously, that's what we want. See? Otherwise, let's say there is body, there is no soul. Like, I mean, of course, it's dead body. There is a kind of, since I was into Jewish mysticism and Hermetism, there is one kind of entity called Golem. Golem. There's a body without soul. I said that they kind of is made from clay or something, and by different mantras by Jewish rabbis, he came into the life. It's kind of, so this is pure just mythology. Without soul, there's no life. But this is like a thing, you know. Soul without body. So this, you know, or Prabhupada said, without super soul, we have no meaning. So how would be the state without connection with the super soul? Like a kind of like a robot or something. Or actually, when you take, most of the people run without super soul because mind is their only guide. It said this material, in this material world, mind takes role of the super soul and guides you through all. There's no connection, it's only mind. So this kind of state, you know, wandering throughout the universe. And further verse, Prabhupada read in the beginning, speaks about Svamsha and Bibinamsha. Svamsha, these are expansions of the Lord personally, like super soul or Chaturyuha. That's Svamsha. And every, all living entities finally are Bibinamsha, which emanations describes. Svamsha is like a fire, and Bibinamsha is like a heat. Fire can become heat, but heat cannot become fire, although there is a quality there. So this is Vibhanamsha. And as also, as expansions go down, 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 they display less and less and less and less and less potency. There is no need. You have all expansions of Vishnu, Mahavishnu, and Chaturyuha, and Balaram, Sankarshanura, and Pradyumna, and then all the Vishnu is a second Chaturyuha. And then there is no need for potency. Finally, the living entities. Very little potency, very minute. And I go back to verse again. Ability, our ability, like Krishna, Arjuna was very much absorbed in his own ability until later he didn't realize that he couldn't do anything, even cannot even defeat those cowherds who took all queens away. And realizes Krishna is the only source of my might. So, and we are definitely doomed to ascribe the abilities we have to ourselves, you see. We are doomed, you know. We can say many things, but deep inside you like pride. You know, it's me, otherwise, you know. And Krishna, like, it's an interesting thing here. What is that ability? Like, okay, Krishna says, I'm ability the man. Now the question is, Krishna, any ability of any man, everything you can do is just Krishna. Is that a fact? You agree? Any ability. But then what is my ability? Who am I? Like, if Krishna is all ability, then human, living entity is like a kind of a lump of, I don't know, jelly or cabbage or something. You know, like Golem, as I mentioned, you know, you just can't do anything. Only Krishna can make them. You know, just throw some potency at them and they act. Is that how it is? Yeah? You agree that you're just powerless, do anything. Fact is that this is my meditation. I may be totally wrong, but only ability we have is to desire. He said, man proposes, God disposes. Only ability we have. So then we can ask, is it my inclination, my attraction to something, to do something, shapes my DNA, give me such a bodily structure, whatever, to do certain things with hands, with eyes, with speech. This is my desire. Krishna throws some potency on it. And my organs, whatever. To be able to do skillfully the things which we desire. Is that the case? And material nature supplies the tool. Then in this way, you cannot also change your nature on your own. last few classes was quite often mentioned how to change your nature, how to, you know, learn all this humility, all these qualities. On your own, you cannot do anything then. Even that, only your desire can make it. Krishna can make if you really desire. See? And it needs no long, long time, see. When this desire intensifies, long, strong enough, then Krishna finally grants. See, a long time. Perhaps when you're old, of course, your passion subsides, and in that sense, you can be more humble because there's nothing in you. But these desires, this is only what we can desire. Because in one lifetime, there's no question that you can become Brahma Buddha in one lifetime. No way. This intense, intense desire over lifetimes slowly brings you to that. That's again my thought on that. See, the life is too short. Like what you can notice in my life. For example, in previous yuga, you practice your spiritual life for 10,000 years. And then you can notice, oh, you changed in the last 10,000 years. But what you can change in 5, 10, 50, 100 years, you cannot notice that. It's very hard to change the nature. I mean, only the strong desire constantly. So what makes you Krishna conscious also? What Prabhupada says. What makes you Krishna conscious? You heard us many times. What needs to be Krishna conscious? Desire. You heard that. Only desire. Chant Krishna. Yeah. You can chant Hare Krishna, but happiness come or not, doesn't matter. So desire carries you from lifetime to lifetime. That's why we have so many body reforms to facilitate our desire. So ability I have is only my desire, nothing else. So, and then Krishna invests this ability in me. Therefore, is another interesting thing here. You have to cultivate desire. Therefore, there is a scriptures. There is injunctions of Guru Shastra to cultivate proper desire. This is how we change. We can desire of so many wrong things as we did already, been through all these lifetimes. But then you have to come to understand what actually is true desire. And then we adopt this practice which leads us to change our desire for elevation, not for degradation. There where sadhana comes. The sadhana means I do things which I don't like, but I use intelligence. And I know what is good for me. That's the sadhana. A rigorous practice for a long, long time, cultivating. Until one likes things which he initially don't, like in a hell. Like a very long time, you learn to practice. It's not that pig becomes pig overnight. It is described. You are there, and you are forced for millions of years to eat stool. And when you come to the state that you like it, you resist, you go and jump on your own in lake of stool. Yeah, I want it. Then you are ready. So that means cultivation. When you are ready, then you can become that same with good desire. You practice like drinking, whatever. Nobody likes all these nasty things, drinking, smoking at the beginning. It's horrible. But then after some time you like. So with any desire, we have intelligence, we know what we are supposed to practice. And then we cultivate until we start to like. When you start to like, you acquire the quality. See, we go this state from negative to neutral to positive. It's in anything you do, this state you go through negative, first your rejection, and then you go to neutral, you don't bother, and then to positive. And in this way, this is how Tathashta Shakti or Jivas are manipulated for good or for bad. If you are exposed enough to anything, you will adopt that. Like who said Himmler or said Hitler's main man? He said, when you speak the lie, doesn't matter how big it is, If you tell it, if you say it enough time, it becomes truth. This is so true. So true nowadays we see so many informations that people adopt and accept all kinds of things. Earth is square, earth is round, earth is flat. It's just example, I'm joking. You know, anything, because you are exposed to this constantly, becomes normal. Therefore, degradation happens. You see the Kali Yuga. If you want people to adopt anything, you just expose them gradually towards something. And then they adopt now this norm of life, norm of what is actually civilized. We went so down. Abortion is normal. Killing is normal. All kinds of sexual behavior is normal, which 50 years you couldn't think of. Because you're exposed to that, you know. So in this way, our duty is also to expose people to the proper things, to Vedic teaching. It's the same thing. We must be seen in any area of life. Devotees must be seen. Any area of life. Wherever you switch on TV, Hare Krishna's there. On the street, they're there. Everywhere, you expose people to that. And then, like Mahatma Gandhi easy said, first they hate you, then, but they say, laugh at you, and then they love you. This is simple psychology. So we can see that this is exactly pattern by which everything happens, good or bad, in this world. We can be manipulated in any way. So therefore, there's constant battle for good influence of Vedic teachings and the negative, like different speculations based on ego. That's all it is. So that's it. Okay, I'll stop here. Probably there's no questions. If somebody has comments or something. Sorry, verse was tough. I'm not like a scholar, you know. Never heard a verse chanting on me, or at least, or nothing. I just kind of think and read. I like to read, that's all. I'm happy with that. I'm very happy that I don't need to learn Sanskrit verses. I don't need to learn Mridanga. I'm just joking, I suppose. But I'm old. Okay, sorry. Your question.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Charana Prabhu. Very nice class, very deep meditations. You've really churned it. My question is, like, you've been speaking about the lower nature and the higher nature, the Vedic nature. So how can we develop, like, continuous meditation on developing this higher nature? Because you can see it, I mean, my personal reflection, like, okay, one day I'm meditating really, really humility, okay, be chilled, be nice, be positive. I can do it, maintain it one day, and then the next day, again, my lower nature kicks in, and again, you know, the same kind of a meditation comes. So how can we develop this continuous absorption?
It's hard. We're going to get so many kicks. I mean, I do this all the time. You just remind me on me. You know, one moment I'm so enthusiastic, everything is nice, I'm humble. And the next moment I just say something, do something, we just totally ruin everything. And I feel awful. And I was just thinking, where is going to stop? And you regret, and then, you know. That's an unsteady position. How do you call this, you know, nectar of devotion, unsteadiness? Is it Dana Tarala or something, or thick and thin, you know. Just unsteady, we are not yet there. How you call steadiness in Nishta? We are just not there yet. But we have to continue. Therefore, intelligence is there. Shastras are not there to induce you to like something and like sort of spice, nice, you know, always nice, cotton wool, spirituality, like many spiritualists are nice, cotton wool, you know, harps are playing and everything is nice and sunny day, on picnic all day. Beautiful. It's not. We have to shape the mind, shape the consciousness. It's hard. We have tendency from lifetime. The mind takes a role of leader in our life. It's just hard. It's unsteady. Therefore, very strongly intelligence must be there. Therefore, we have to constantly revise and study, remind ourselves, you know, read again, you know. I do this all the time. My notebook, just read, try to remind myself all the time things which are, I'm, you know. It's not the easy thing, you know. You know, we have to reshape things. Like, can you imagine? To reshape things, reshape behavior, change everything. You know, be something which you are not now, which originally you are. But so, you know, you admit who you are. And for me, I mean, chanting is just only hope, only thing which gives me really happiness. Really, I just kind of somehow feel I just want to continue chant all day. Because it kind of connects you, and then all, at least all this material nature is just kind of on the sides, you know. And then doing, you know, these things may manifest in us. I don't know. We have to just continue, use intelligence, it revives the knowledge, why we have to do things. And then just continue, you know. If you just do what we like man sometimes likes, he's happy, he's enthusiastic, but sometimes he's not. They have to go against. So if you do whatever man says, there's no shaping, there's not much to say. We know that, you know, we all struggle often. We just carry on. But, you know, perfecting chanting, that's such a help. That's everything. For me, that's everything, you know, really. It's nothing so important, you know. And anything else, Krishna may be merciful sometime to kind of get rid of that. Like sieving the tea. Okay. Sorry, Hare Krishna. Please stop now.